When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
So here's what we've come to. It's not enough to learn how to construct a story with a beginning, middle, and end in a satisfactory sequence. It's not enough to create plausible, believable characters, to create lovable characters, to create characters that bounce off of each other, to tell your story through your characters. It's not enough to learn composition and advanced storytelling techniques, to use the juxtaposition of images on the page to create a visually interesting story. It is not enough to learn printing techniques and to learn how to avail yourself of the new printing technology, such as print-on-demand, in order to get your books published and released. It's not enough to learn new distribution channels, such as Comics Monkey, as well as distributing your works through your own site or using interesting open source technologies such as archive.org to get your works out and found by people. It's not enough to learn different promotional schemes using social media to get people to find your work. This is what we've come to. Now we have to learn programming language, HTML, CSS, content management systems. And even more, we have to learn programming languages such as Objective-C if we want to get our works packaged in apps in mobile devices. The learning never stops. Hey, it's me, Jersey, and it's time for your Thunder Punch Daily, the show I record not so daily, sharing a few thoughts from the mind of a cartoonist. And as my little preamble there hinted, I'm thinking about learning today. Because I have been struggling over this last week with getting a lot of finalization of software for some upcoming events that I'm co-organizing, such as the Kids Read Comics event, kidsreadcomics.org. As the programming director and as the website administrator for the event, it's fallen upon me to not only coordinate with a bunch of different cartoonists to develop and get descriptions for what kinds of workshops they want to lead at our event. But I also have to, I've spent the last week and a half to 2 weeks really getting under the hood of some software to run on the site to manage registration of events, because some of the events are open to the public in terms of just come one, come all. But some of them, we don't have very much space. We're dealing with a situation where the room can fit a maximum of 30 people. How do we manage that? How do we accept registrations for these events? Well, last year we did it with handling everything through email. People would email Edith Burney, who was sort of our, she was sort of a co-programming director in the sense that she was doing all the administrative work of organizing all of the incoming emails for programs and assembling them into an Excel spreadsheet so that we could keep track of who needs to be where and when. But this year, we decided that that was a very labor-intensive and cumbersome task for her. So we thought, well, there's got to be software out there to manage this that would handle a lot of it automatically, that would assemble all of these incoming requests into an Excel spreadsheet for us, or at least into some kind of printable format that we could just print out and not have to do a lot of the manual data entry that poor Edith had to do last year. And it turns out there is software out there to do that, but there's a lot of different kinds of software, a lot of different WordPress plugins that I had to install and test and then see what the shortcomings were, what we wanted and what wasn't there, what was there, what we could avail ourselves of that we hadn't thought of yet. And there's a lot of searching, a lot of tracking down software, and a lot of trial and error involved in that. And once again, I find myself in a situation where I learned a lot about installing things on WordPress and integrating things on WordPress. There were a lot of plugins that I installed that broke the site. The site would go down and I'd have to delete the plugin and then hope that the site came back up after that and debug things as I played around with different plugins. And as it happens, yesterday I was helping out my buddy Sarah Turner, Knife Man of cricket-press.com. I was helping her with a basic installation of WordPress. And we were having a little conversation about this, about how, you know, it was, it seems in 2002, it was bad enough that we had to learn HTML. And granted, we had what you see, what you get editors like Adobe Go Live and later on Adobe Dreamweaver, what was once Macromedia Dreamweaver. That helps, but still, even when doing like a, just a basic post on your WordPress installation, it's helpful to know some HTML. At least that way you can tell if something gets broken. Like I know that in some cases, if you do your blog post in a word processing program like Word, where it has a lot of rich text formatting in there, if you just copy and paste it into the rich text editor in a WordPress installation, it can sometimes look really goofy. So in those cases, it's better just to do it in a text document and then do all of your HTML tags in that and then just copy and paste it into the HTML editor in a WordPress installation. This is the kind of stuff you have to learn if you're an indie person. And this is why I can understand why some creators feel much more at ease just getting a publisher who will deal with all that for them. However, I don't mind learning this stuff because I love to be in control of everything that I'm doing. Even if I have to learn a whole lot in order to do that, having that fine-tuning that I get to do with my projects is intensely rewarding for me. So if you are of the same mindset as I am, you like to control the message, you like to control the storefront, as it were, of your project, it really falls on your shoulders. I strongly believe it falls on your shoulders to learn this stuff. But I don't think that's such a bad thing. I think that, whenever I have to learn something new, that first couple minutes of having to learn it, I'm like, oh man, I just wanted to do some sketching today. This is going to suck. But on the other hand, as we talked about in an old episode of Art and Story, the big value, you just do a search on artandstorypodcast.com for that episode if you haven't heard it yet. We talked about extending and expanding your skill set as a creator and becoming more of a jack of all trades, as well as a expert in certain things. Like, for instance, I think that one of my strengths as a comic storyteller is I think a lot about paneling and unique panel layouts and reading flows. I don't think I'm as strong of an illustrator as other comics creators, but I do think that when it comes to paneling, I'm pretty good at that. That's my quote-unquote realm of expertise, or at least that's the realm I focus on a lot as a creator. But I also learn how to do all these other things so I can build projects for myself and I can be an asset to a group. I'm not just sitting there on the sidelines going, well, if you need a banner designed, I can do that for you. Upside, you have a lot of versatility and you could take on a lot of different kinds of projects if you want to. Downside, yeah, in a group you become somebody that people lean on because you know more about this stuff than other people. But that makes you valuable. That makes you valuable as a creator. But to go back to this concept of a willingness to learn, you know, like I said at the top with that little frightening statement of it's not enough to do this, it's not enough to do that. I think that I don't know where this idea came from in a lot of people that I've known throughout my life, of once you're done with college, you're just done. You're done learning. That's it. Now you're an adult and you know what you need to know and let's just go through the motions in life. That's a frightening prospect to me. I'm terrified of the notion of just unplugging myself and just going, putting the engine in idle for the rest of my life. I want to learn as much as I can. And the thing is, even if that does make you feel like a little, oh, Jerz, what are you trying to throw on our shoulders? It's never been easier to learn than it is today, and it's only going to get easier. 16 years ago, when I first started self-publishing, there was the public library, and that was pretty much the only resource one had for finding information about printing processes. Like when I went to the printer with my pages of the what became the first issue of The Front back in 1992 or 93, I walked into the printer's office with a stack of just loose sheets of paper, and they said, this won't do. You need to have these pasted up on printer's flats. And I was like, what are printer's flats? And thankfully, the printer was very, very patient and kind with me and taught me how to do it. So then when I turned in jobs in the future, I had them set up properly so that they could print them for me. But what if they weren't? What if they said, you know, this job's too small, we don't have time for this, come back when you know how to make a printer's flat. Well, my only option then would be to go to the library and ask somebody, do you have any information about getting things printed offset? Today, we have the internet, and we have libraries, and we have social media outlets like Twitter and like Facebook. It's never been easier to call upon the collective brain of the world to help you find the information you want. So what's the key that you need in order to be a better learner? Learning is about stamping out your ignorance, right? It's not about being smart. It's about getting rid of your ignorance. It's about amassing knowledge. This is the common misconception that I think a lot of people make, is that they think that being smart means that you know a lot. No, being smart means that you know how to ask good questions. In other words, you have to know how to do research. And Google is a powerful tool. Search engines like Bing and like Yahoo are powerful tools, but only if you use them right. You have to know how to do the right kinds of searches. And so I thought I'd share a few tips on learning more today. This isn't so much of a drawing tip, but these are some skills that I've picked up over the years in how to find information quickly when I'm troubleshooting a problem. And one is just learning a few tricks in using search engines properly. Now, I'm not going to profess that I have as good of a search engine mojo as, say, a Renee Van Beltzen. And I'm going to get to that in a second on one of those tips. But one of the things I have learned is when I'm doing a WordPress installation or running into errors with installing certain software on a WordPress site, is all you have to do to find a solution to the problem is copy the error message into a search bar. Just whatever error message you get, error on line 42, syntax, WP underscore widget dot PHP not found. Okay, copy that entire line of text, drop it into a search bar, and you're going to find somebody who's addressed that problem. That is one of the number one ways I found a lot of solutions to WordPress problems. So if you're running into problems with a WordPress installation, you're getting error messages, just drop that thing into a search bar and you're going to find something. Two is, yeah, Twitter and Facebook are great for troubleshooting information. Just ask people on Twitter whenever I've needed to find like a really specific kind of software or a solution to a software problem I'm having. I just ask the general population of Twitter, ask my followers, anybody know anything about this? And then guys like Renee Van Beltzen have been exceedingly helpful in getting me a bunch of options, like Renee or Dave Anderson or Jonathan Rector or Jeremy Burley. Any one of those guys will say, have you checked this out? And they'll send me a link. Just the other day, I was bellyaching about the scanning software I use for my an HP ScanJet 3570C, an old scanner. And they haven't updated it for the new Mac operating system yet. It's really crappy software. And so Dave Anderson, Pixelgun on the Twitters, he pointed me at ViewScan, a completely different scanning software that works with most scanners. And lo and behold, it worked great. So just asking people on a social network can be a huge deal. But then there's libraries. Let's talk about libraries for a minute. Now I'm going to give you guys some inside information because I happen to be married to a librarian. And not only going to your library, I mean, not enough people actually physically go to their library to get information. They have this thing called the reference desk there. And the reference librarian at the desk, their job is to help you find information. Their training is in asking the right questions. They are research experts. So if you have a question about anything, I need some information on WordPress, they can point you at 12 books that are going to help you. But here's the secret tip, is that a lot of people call the reference desk from home. They don't even go into the library. They call the reference desk from home and they ask for information. And the reference librarian will A, look up the proper books for you, and in some cases put them on hold for you, or B, they'll find you information on the web because, again, they're research specialists. They know how to use search engines better than the common person, better than any of us for that matter. They've been trained in this. And if you need information online, they can find it for you, and if you are registered in their system, they can often send you a link or read you a link over the phone. A lot of libraries also have an Ask Us link, like ask a librarian a question on their website. So you can email your local reference librarian and ask them these questions, and they're going to find much more quickly and easily the information that you need. So if all else fails, if Twitter doesn't work for you, if using a search engine doesn't work for you, you can call or email your local librarian, and they can get you that information. Let me tell you, I have used this in my own personal experience a lot when I'm running into problems with software installations or business plan kind of stuff. Like, how do I start? How do I investigate the notion of turning Kids Read Comics into a nonprofit 503c organization? Where do I start? I just ask my wife, and I say, Anne, I need information on this. She comes home with like 12 books that I need. Now, granted, I'm in a special place. I'm married to a librarian. She comes home with this stuff for me. But like I said, a lot of librarians will just put it on hold for you. You go pick it up, and all that information is there for you. Research is the key to learning, because what I think makes what makes learning frustrating for a lot of people is A, bad school systems where you have unenthusiastic teachers who just don't care. Not all teachers are like that, but there's a lot of, unfortunately, there's a lot of teachers who just are collecting a paycheck. But two is, if you don't have the proper research skills, learning becomes a much more laborious and extended process when asking the right questions will get you the information you need, lickety-split. And then you're back on track making things again, and it becomes a much more pleasurable experience to learn. So that's the real trick. Is don't, I think if you feel a reluctance or hesitation or frustration with learning, maybe it's because you're not asking the right questions. And don't kick yourself for that. Just go to the people who know how to ask the right questions. And you know what? A lot of librarians, they feel really unappreciated. And if you ask them, wow, how did you know to find that? How did you know where to look? They'll be glad to tell you in most cases, unless they're a really bitter person. So I guess this is a big advertisement for public libraries, but for crying out loud, your tax dollars are paying for those people to work for you, you know, so you should avail yourself of them. Most librarians are happy to help with really interesting questions, because these days, so many libraries are becoming these repositories for DVDs, and people come in and they're just looking for the latest season of CSI. And when you're sitting on a $60,000 degree to help people find, DVD collections of CSI, that can be kind of frustrating. You can feel like your expertise is being misused. So most librarians, and I've encountered this not just talking to my wife, but talking with other librarians, you give them a really good question, and they're excited about actually getting to use their skills in a good way. So that's all to say, don't hesitate to contact them. But, that's where we stand now. We have to learn so much. And I think it's exciting, and I think it will remain exciting and not become a frustration to us, providing we know how to ask the right questions. So I hope that these little few tips that I threw out today have been encouraging, if not helpful. So who am I? I'm Jersey Droz at jdroz.com, Jersey on the Twitter. Don't forget to check out the other shows on Art and Story Supreme. We thank you for your support. We couldn't do this without you. Your financial support provides us with the time to do this extra content. And it's really fun for me. It's fun for me to keep an eye on what's going on in my life and be mindful of it and documenting it. I mean, I'm treating this sort of like a diary for myself that I'm trying to fashion into essays that are useful to others. So I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for this experience so far. And another news item, if any of you, I don't know how many storiers, Supreme storiers are actually in the Southeast Michigan area, but Mark and I are going to be at Free Comic Book Day in Dearborn at Green Brain Comics, and we'll be doing some broadcasting from the event, at least I hope to. So stay tuned on the artandstorypodcast.com site, or follow us on Twitter, Art and Story on Twitter, for updates about little broadcast updates from the event. But it'd be cool to run into a few storiers there. I hope we do. So, okay, well, thanks again, everybody, for listening and for providing your support. I've been Jersey Droz. I'll be back soon with another Thunder Punch Daily very soon. Until then, remember, everybody.
I hope you enjoyed today's adventure. You know, television is not the only way to be entertained by an exciting story. There is another way. It's called reading. And one of the wonderful things about books is that they allow you to choose whatever kind of adventure you like. A trip with an astronaut, an adventure with the great detective Sherlock Holmes, a comedy, anything. You can find it in a book at your school or neighborhood library. Why, I'll bet there are even some good books right in your own home, just waiting to be read.